your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in today. In this show, we like to talk about faith and how faith mixes in with our everyday life, whether you are a parent or a student, taking care of a loved one, or maybe you are mourning the loss of a loved one. Whatever your situation in life is, we like to talk about how faith can kind of come in and be an integral part of your life. And at the beginning of this show, what we like to do is read some scripture from the Bible. And I get to choose it as your host. And my choice this week is actually Psalm 56. It's a psalm that King David wrote while he was on the run. And there's some interesting truths in here that I want to share with you. So let's dig into Psalm 56. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It goes like this. O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I will praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come up together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God. I will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Psalm 56. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
If you're one of those folks that needs to get put in the Christmas spirit, mark this down. Toy Lift is December 1st, and Tom Powell is here. Merry Christmas, Tom. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you, too. That's right. It's coming up faster than you can imagine, the first Friday of December.
Locations all over the place. Four locations in Charlottesville, plus Fluvanna, Green, as well as Crozet. And you can find them all online at toylift.org. You need volunteers, but you also need a place for those volunteers to do the great work of Toy Lift and sort through all these toys and help put together all these bicycles for the needy.
We do. We need a distribution center 15 to 20,000 square feet, and we need it for about 5 weeks. It would be a great thing if you could come forward and help us with that. We'd love to have your help. Obviously, you'd be a great sponsor of the Toy Lift and taking care of almost 4,000 kids.
Find out more about it, how you can sponsor, volunteer, or certainly help out with some logistics online at toylift.org. Merry Christmas, Tom.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in today on the program. We have my good friend back with us, Rick Tamburino. Rick, we have lots to talk about, but I want to touch down on the psalm that we just read in the introduction. If you're just tuning in, we were reading Psalm 56, and the key verse I want to talk about that has been dear to my heart this week is Psalm 56, verse number 8, which is really mind-blowing to think about it, but this is King David penned this, and under the, obviously, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." And Rick, the reason I want to highlight that particular verse is there's been a lot of tears in our household this week. Good friend, our mutual good friend, Joanne Walker, passed away from cancer, and 56 years old, beautiful woman, and happened to be my wife's best friend, and almost a second mother to my children, just somebody who's been really integral in my family. But when we went to the funeral this week, you realize that as dear as she was to us, I think she was that dear to almost everybody else in her life.
Oh my gosh, it was just absolutely amazing. Yeah, you know, and I started counting. So, you know, we were talking about this a little over the break, and it was, we were talking about how her husband, Mac, you know, essentially eulogized her, yeah, or really just told her story.
Yes.
And, you know, I started counting the hours that he was talking about, the hours she was on the phone, the hours she was doing PTA mm-hmm. things, the hours that she would volunteer at Stone Robinson. Mm-hmm. And all I could think to myself was, I don't think there are that many hours in the day, you know? But to think that she, you know, the big topic, I don't know if it's as big a topic today as it was a couple years back, but the big topic you always hear about is balance, mm-hmm. life balance, and so on and mm-hmm. so forth. And oftentimes you hear these stories of the person who just poured into other people all the time,
yeah,
but their family got shortchanged, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, similar scenarios. And that wasn't the case with this at all.
Not at all.
I mean, her family felt easily as loved as mm-hmm. anybody in her life, and, yeah, and more, of course.
Yeah. Well, what a tough week it has been. But as you said, her husband, Mac Walker, did an amazing job at the funeral, and really did a great job telling the story of her life. My first remembrances of Joanne is, you know, she mentioned that she was a loan officer,
right,
for Real Estate 3.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I hit that. Yeah.
When I walked in 1988 with my real estate license, one of the classes I had to take was financing that Real Estate 3 taught. I went down into the terrace level of the Real Estate 3 29 North building,
wow,
and Joanne Walker is teaching the class. That's my first introduction,
wow,
to her. She, and as Max said, she was amazing,
right,
at that job. Years later, years fly by, and we have my oldest daughter was very close with Jan Walker,
okay,
yep, their daughter. Mm-hmm. And so from second grade on at Stone Robinson, they hit it off, mm-hmm. and they were friends. And so we kind of reengaged with the Walker family. Mac Walker and I coached the Little League soccer team together.
I can't even imagine what that looked like.
what's the Will Ferrell kicking and screaming moving? A little bit like that.
The two of you are a little passionate, especially when it comes to sports.
Yes.
And then, yeah, of course, that was probably before you know, made a bit of a shift in your life where you...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe wasn't as gentle as, right, as I am.
I can remember you and I on the lacrosse field years ago.
Yes.
We were a team.
Quickly getting out of that topic and on to Joanne later on. I need to give you this memory of Joanne Walker, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and Rick Tamburino is our guest today, and we are remembering Joanne Walker on this program, who just passed away. Joanne was my doubles partner in mixed doubles for the Glenmore tennis team.
Wow.
My wife and I had trouble playing together. That was just a little bit volatile as well. So Joanne stepped in, and she was a fantastic doubles player because she was so athletic.
Right.
She had great reach, great touch, and great legs in terms of getting back to the shots that were hit over my head.
Right.
So she could run.
And she didn't really start playing tennis until later on.
No,
right?
She was just an incredible athlete. Man, she went amazing. To college on a golf scholarship, right. And then was great in volleyball and obviously golf she was great at. But tennis, I mean, she just picked it right up and was fantastic. Wow. And then the other thing I just want to touch down on is, again, she was sort of like a second mother in our household. Whenever any crisis or issues came up in our families, mm-hmm. Kind of comings and goings, Joanne was there. She would show up. She would just show up, and as you heard Mac talk about at the funeral, Joanne would, ask the kids, how you feeling, what's bothering you, and they would talk to her.
Right. So
she had that way about her.
Yeah, that's an incredible blessing for the kids, mm-hmm. Because sometimes us as parents, we're not the best sounding board, mm-hmm. right? We have our own motivations, we got our own problems, whatever we have, and there's nothing like that outside party to come in.
Yes.
And say some encouraging words.
Yeah.
Lift things up where maybe not everybody else has the capacity to lift things up.
She was incredibly positive and encouraging. And I think, I know her parents, mother, Janet, sweet, sweet lady, father, John Snyder, who was the golf professional at Farmington.
Right. Yep.
Extremely positive person. Mm. And I think she got a lot of that. Well, I know it's from both of them, but I saw some of that connection through the father. I mean, very, very positive. And I'm drawn to people that have kind of that positive can-do attitude, and she had that.
Yeah, all the time. Mm. My first real interaction, I didn't have as deep an interaction as you guys, but my first interaction was with the ladies' version of the Faith and Leadership mm-hmm. Forum, in her enthusiasm just bubbling over for that ministry.
Yes.
And sometimes, especially if you're a little younger in your walk or a little immature, whatever it is, and you see somebody with that level of enthusiasm,
yes.
You're just wondering when the facade's going to come off. Like, where's the, when do we see what the real deal is underneath? Yeah. But yeah. She was the real deal.
Yeah. And I think, safe to say, I think Joanne would agree with this, that when her faith reignited mm-hmm. about 10 years ago, she was just on fire for the Lord. So you got this double dose of friendliness from her.
Sure.
The double dose of encouragement. But then as her faith really took off, you always felt like you got a double dose of a blessing from her as well.
Wow.
I mean, she was not afraid to pray for you at all,
right.
At any time. And so that was just real special. But, back to the Psalm 56 today, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Rick, I am just blown away when I read that the God of the universe cares that much about your sorrows and your tears. That is just, that's just mind-blowing to me at times.
Yeah. And for us individually, because I think that sometimes you just think to yourself, and maybe it's just a trite thing to say, but how can God be concerned about me?
Right.
Right now. But then you realize that sometimes it's just the smallest things that somebody does that can mean the biggest to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's that word of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
It's that show of care,
mm-hmm.
I'm part of a group that meets on Thursday nights, and we were talking about this last night. We don't know what we're put on this earth for. We know that we should keep doing what mm. we're doing,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know if our ministry is like Joanne's and is to affect as many people as she did, which was enormous, a huge number of people,
mm-hmm.
or it could be just our purposes to affect that one person.
Mm.
You know, Max said something really interesting, and he said, if all I did was, you know, do the work that I did that allowed her to stay home and do her volunteer work and the other things she did, then I've contributed well.
Yeah.
Like, that was my contribution to the world.
That's a great point. Well, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Rick Tamburino in just a moment. We're going to talk a little bit more about Joanne Walker, and we're going to get into some more scripture. So thank you for joining us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Friends of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library Fall Book Sale is November 4th through November 12th at the Gordon Avenue Library in Charlottesville. Hours are 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day. Books, music, movies, puzzles, and more will be on sale. Proceeds benefit the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Albemarle High School Band Boosters will have their annual craft fair November 11th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the AHS cafeteria. Proceeds benefit the AHS Band. The Junior League of Charlottesville will host its 14th annual Mistletoe Market Holiday Shopping Event on Sunday, November 12th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Doubletree Hotel. More info at jlcville.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. You're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program, my good friend Rick Tamburino. And the first part of the show, we were remembering Joanne Walker, and we are keeping her family in our prayers. What a wonderful woman. And I can't help but think that as she is now in the presence of the Lord, that she has not heard again and again and again, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, what a life well lived.
Right. You know, and she died young.
Yeah.
You know, 56 years old.
Yes.
And you just, you know, obviously a lot of people would think, man, look how much more she had in her, or, you know, what a shame, or what have you. But there's nothing inside me that says that she didn't accomplish everything she was meant to accomplish here.
And the other thing I will mention is that when she got her cancer diagnosis, that positive, faith-filled attitude remained and grew in her. She actually continued to grow in her faith during the cancer diagnosis.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, God is bigger than this.
Yeah.
That was the phrase that she continued to say. That's the phrase that we talked about all yesterday. That was the phrase that was repeated, you know, often through her service. And, you know, you just have to take a look at that. And you know, maybe my vocabulary is a little short here, but you just kind of have to take a look at that from like a more cosmic perspective, right? I mean, we on earth think to ourselves, you know, when somebody says God is bigger than this, we think, oh, the cancer. And he didn't solve the cancer problem, and now she's gone, you know, and woe is us or what have you. But to think about the legacy that she left and the people that she affected, and, you know, for every one of those people that she affected, how many other people did they affect?
Yeah. The multiplication of that is incredible.
Right. That's right.
Well, I have a couple of faith questions for you, Mr. Tamburino.
Wow. Okay.
When did it occur to you that when you read the Bible, that it became more than just words on the page, that it was more than just a history book? When we read in the book of Hebrews, it says the Word of God is alive and active. When did that light switch go on for you?
I think when it went on for me, and, you know, just a little bit of my background, I went to Catholic school for 8 years. When I went to public school in high school, I did all the, I think it was called CCD back when I were kids. Now it's called something different, you know. And so I certainly felt like I had a lot of content in me. And there certainly were a lot of words in there. And I think there was certainly kind of a pull of my heart toward Christ. But I don't think it really blossomed until much, much later. Mm-hmm. You know, it was about 7 years ago, and you're the one who invited me to that group. And you know, maybe it was hearing more of the cultural context of the word and understanding that better. Maybe what it was men in our group who stepped out in faith and told us what was going on, you know. I've mentioned to people, you know, what we have there, and I know this is a different forum, but, you know, I think it's worth talking about. I've mentioned to people what we have there, that, you know, kind of what happens here stays here, and, you know, other groups similar to that. And people are so incredibly envious. I'll tell you a story about that. This was just last night. I was with some friends, and the same situation. It's a Thursday night group of friends, about four couples. And the one lady's parents are agnostic. And they came to visit. You know, they're older folks. They're from the Northeast Coast. And they heard about this group that we have. Where people just open up and tell all your problems, if it's kids, money, relationship, whatever it is, everything's fair game, right? And it stays there because, you know, we'll hunt you down. And this guy, again, completely secular, completely agnostic, he was so incredibly envious of that. Just amazing, you know? He said, and then... He's one of these, you know, did very well in business, and so he's by nature kind of a fixer. You know, all of a sudden he's giving advice like, oh, listen, you guys can't make it get too big because that would ruin it. You know, like he all of a sudden is trying to perfect this thing, even though he's never experienced it firsthand. But he can even tell just kind of listening to, you know, his daughter and son-in-law, just how incredibly important and valuable this is to them, you know? So I'd say it was probably around then that I started to understand that these are more than just mystical words on a page. You know, a lot of people call it mythology, and we know better than that. But yeah, that's when it started to mean something.
It's interesting to me. You know, what kind of comes to mind to me as I hear your story, Rick, in John's Gospel, and we've referenced this verse before, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, an abundant life, an overflowing life. And the way that relates to your story is, I think one of the traps that is set by the devil is to get us into an isolation chamber.
Right.
As humans. When times are hard, I know for me, oftentimes my default mode is to go solo.
Sure. Yep.
And when you go to a safe place like this group that we have on Thursdays, where you can go to... you know, and there's women's groups, men's groups, but in this case, you can go and talk with some other men about something vulnerable that's going on in your life and seek wisdom from other, you know, like-minded individuals.
Right.
There's something really good that comes out of that. And it's that whole relationship piece that, when it's missing, you don't really know what's going wrong in your life. But when it clicks, you say that it's so obvious. We're not meant to do life alone.
Right, right. So I can't even remember a time when I couldn't turn to a friend, brother, and tell them a problem, you know? And I feel like that's a blessing that I can't remember that time. I can't remember a time when I had just, you know, kind of hunkered down and said, I got to solve this on my own. Because now we do have so much of a resource. And some things, you know, and Satan, darkness, the evil one, however you want to label it, right? He wants you to stay there.
Yeah.
You know, he wants you to stay there with your dirt all covered up.
That's right. Keep it dark.
That's right.
The darkness. Keep you in the darkness.
Yep.
And in fact, I've lost the page, but we were at Psalm 56, and a lot of that, you know, King David's on the run, and he's talking about how he is afraid, and he's crying out to God. And then at the end, he puts his trust in God.
Right.
And so I just want to say to any of our listeners who are going through a thing, I would say dig into God's word and get with a group, get with a church, get with some people you know who have faith, and kind of talk through your issues. Because one of the things you and I know from reading God's word is when two or more are gathered,
right,
God is in your midst. That's one of the promises from the Bible. And so you get with somebody and you kind of reveal with them what the issues are that you're going through. Bring God into it. Lay some prayer on it. Ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. And now you're cooking, right?
Right, right. And it's not to say don't be discerning, because you should, right?
Yeah.
You don't find the guy down the street and say, hey, man, let me tell you about my marriage.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Don't tell your competitor, your adversary, your weaknesses, mm-hmm. you know, because they may use those things against you. And I'm not trying to, you know, clam up here. I'm just saying, you know, make sure you're being discerning about that, you know.
Yeah.
A good Christ-centered church,
mm-hmm.
Good people. If it's, if you're a man, good men. If you're a woman, good women. You know, it's interesting. One thing you hit upon there, talking about kind of, you know, Pete used the term yesterday morning. He called it turtling up, right? You kind of get into your shell.
Yes.
I feel like men by default do that more often than women do. Mm-hmm. Women do a better job of telling each other what's going on. Mm-hmm. But even they can get to that point where they're not telling everything, mm-hmm. right? They're still kind of holding things back.
Superficial.
For image or whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm. I want to read one more piece of scripture. Rick, we're running out of time, but I want to read one more piece of scripture to you. It's Mark 11. I'm going to pick it up at verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Rick, I've read that verse 100 times now, and it's amazing how this time through it hit me on the head, this part about forgiveness.
Right. Yeah, I heard that too.
So, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. And, you know, when the Lord shined his light on that part of the scripture for me, I kind of went around to each member of my family and I was like, hey, let me read this to you again.
Right.
And let's highlight. And then I had to pop the question, which was, who is it that you need to forgive? What are you holding on to? And it's amazing how we will hold on to the littlest things.
Right. I think it gives us comfort. It's weird, but I think it gives us comfort.
And God wants us to let go of that. And we want forgiveness, but we forget we have to do our part too.
Right. It's something that's not easy to do. It's easy to talk about, but it's not easy to do.
Rick, I'm going to get you back on the show. It's a pleasure to be friends with you. And I want to say to you and your family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. And the same goes to the Walker family and all of our listeners. Have a great Sunday.
Come restore and make us new. God, we need